have a Bible handy if possible. We'll be walking through this passage as we've been doing in Philippians. Especially in this letter, Paul goes back and forth between real life examples from his own life or someone else's life and instructions, teaching. And we start today with Philippians verse 2, where Paul names a specific situation in the church. So this is a real life example. Euodia and Syntyche are called out. In chapter 2, verse 2, he told everyone to be like-minded, having the same love. Be one in spirit and of one mind. Now, two chapters later, in chapter 4, verse 2, he confronts these two about not being like-minded. And yeah, he names names. Can you imagine if I, this morning, read a letter from our regional leader, Pastor Danny Martinez, and included names of Millard Church people who have not been behaving well lately? I don't think it was Paul's intention to humiliate them. These were leaders of the church, friends of his, co-workers of Paul's. He loves them, and he wants their relationship to be restored. And along the lines of what Jesus taught in Matthew 18, Paul was urging the church to come alongside to help these two work things out. That's, I believe, why he called them out in front of the whole church. And everybody probably already knew anyway. The church had a part to play to help these two overcome whatever the conflict was. Because, of course, we only have one side of the conversation. We don't have all those details. But whatever it was keeping the church from moving forward in unity. And the rest of our passage today, after that brief mention of those two leaders, Euodia and Syntyche, he gets into some instruction. So let's go to verse 4, rejoicing. Every single week in this letter, we have surprising joy. Rejoice in the Lord. And he says, I'll say it again so that they can hear it in the back. Rejoice. Always. Yeah, when was that again? Rejoice when things are going well. Rejoice when this mess is over. Rejoice always, it says. Rejoice in what? In our circumstances? In material blessings? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we rejoice in. Let's get into verse 6. Paul has some instructions on prayer. He starts saying, do not be anxious about anything. And before we continue into that sentence, I need to acknowledge that Paul, elsewhere in this letter and in one of his other letters, talks about the good side of anxiety. In chapter 2, verse 20, he praises Timothy for his genuine concern for the welfare of the church in Philippi. It's the same word, but here it's a concern, an anxiety that has to do with caring about others. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, Paul says, besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. In that chapter, Paul is listing all of his struggles and all of his sufferings. And in that long list, he includes worrying about all the churches, worrying about how they're doing. Do not worry is not a call to stop paying attention or to stop caring. Fred Craddock makes a distinction from concern that moves us to compassionate action and worry that just has our minds spinning, an idea I am very familiar with. Craddock says, alert, yes. Anxious, no. I want to read it again, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I think the New Living Translation is helpful. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Moving into verse 7, the peace of God is the promise that we get if we do this prayer practice. I want to briefly say three things about peace. First, the source of the peace is God alone. The peace doesn't come from outside the church where the Philippians are facing opposition, but it doesn't even come from inside the church where they are very human and they have unresolved conflict. The peace comes from God. He is the source. Second, the peace of God transcends all understanding. Bonnie Thurston says, when we turn our worries into prayers, we become living conundrums. Our lives don't make sense to others because we can have peace regardless of our circumstances because of our relationship with God. And third, the peace of God guards and protects. It's a military term there. Fred Craddock puts it this way. Because God's peace is on duty, they do not have to be anxiously scanning the horizon for new threats. This peace of God will stand watch over our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God is powerful and strong. This section that we are studying today ends at verse 9, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. Awake and alert? Yes. Anxious and afraid? No. Finally, verse 8. It's all about attitude and the contents of our mind. Think about what is good. Think about what is beautiful. This connects to the command to rejoice and give thanks earlier. Isaiah 26:3 says this, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." The steadfast mind, focused on all the good gifts from God, trusting God for tomorrow. This one will be kept guarded in peace. Now at this point, Euodia and Syntyche and everyone else are sitting there. Are the two women who've been called out, are their faces still red? They are all told, those two and the whole church are told to rejoice. Pray. Focus on the good. And the promise is that the peace of God will guard them. As much as we tend to think about our spiritual lives as just between us and God, very individual, joy, peace, gratitude, and prayer are much more than about me and God, although it starts there. Joy, prayer, and gratitude are ingredients for peace-filled relationships. Joy, prayer, and gratitude are ingredients for unified congregations. As I close, I want to read Isaiah 26:3 one more time. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you. Let's pray. Our God, you know we have plenty to worry about. We have no shortage of concerns, from a global crisis to the unique challenges in each of our lives. Lord, we give you all our burdens, all our concerns. Please show us where and how we can be helpful, how we can make a difference. Guide us and strengthen us in the work that you have for us to do at this time. And when we are powerless, Lord, help us to let you carry the heavy burden. Help us to wait on you. Help us to rest in your peace, knowing that you are our protector and our keeper always. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.